Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
Returning now to the issue of childcare, because as we heard yesterday, only children of essential workers and vulnerable children are allowed to attend at childcare providers under the new restrictions. Services are being asked to refund or credit fees to parents whose children who can't attend. Some providers, though, say this is unviable for them and that they may have to consider closing. Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, joins me now on the line, and thank you, Minister, for taking the time to speak to us this afternoon. I might go first, actually, because we spoke to Chief Executive of Tigers Childcare, which, Karen Clinch, earlier. She runs 12 centres with 1,300 children and 180 staff. So we asked her how she's going to cope under these restrictions. And Minister, you might just have a listen to what she had to say.
So at the moment, we have our earlier centres open, we have 5 of those, and we're operating at about 25% capacity. That's people who are on the list of people who are able to attend. So anyone who's not working from home and is essential. We have after-school service centres that are due to open next week, obviously, because schools aren't opening, and they'll be even at a lower capacity. So they'll be at about 15% capacity. So we are a private provider. So our funding through the funded schemes, the government-funded schemes, accounts for about 20% of our income. So 80% of our income is through private fees, and those fees we're now being asked to return to parents. Now, we understand that parents shouldn't have to pay for a service they're now not receiving, and that's not our issue. Our issue is the fact that without any type of supportive funding to fill that gap, we're just unable to operate. We have all of the same costs that we usually have to operate, and the wage subsidy scheme just doesn't fill that gap, along with the 20% of income that we'll get from government.
So as I said, that's Karen Clinch from Tigers Childcare speaking to us a little bit earlier. Minister, I'm interested in your response to that. She's saying 80% of their income comes from private fees. You've asked childcare providers to give those private fees back. So what are they supposed to do to keep financially viable?
Hi, Sarah. Good evening. We have asked the childcare providers from next Monday for the next 3 weeks to repay or refund or credit parents for any fees, on the basis of the fact that the state is providing very substantial support to the childcare service, and has been since childcare services reopened in June of last year. The ECHA scheme continues to be paid, and as you know, We're not running the ECHA scheme for the next three weeks, but that capitation continues to be paid to childcare services. But I think particularly significantly, and it was referenced there, the EWSS will continue to be paid at the higher rate, the enhanced rate, until the end of March. That was meant to stop in January, but that's been continued on until the end of March. And in July of last year, I negotiated that all childcare providers would receive the EWSS, and at the enhanced rate, on average, it pays for the cost of about 80% of the staff of childcare providers. So that is a very significant state investment and state support for the sector. It's helped it a lot, I know, over the last number of months. And we're just asking that in the context of the next 3 weeks, that childcare providers would not, I suppose, put the burden of on parents who aren't essential workers, who aren't able to use these services, that they would look to repay those fees.
Okay, and will they still be out of pocket, though, on average, if they do that?
Look, I think from the 3 weeks, there might be some reduction in profits. And look, I understand that. We do also have a sustainability fund that was introduced by my predecessor, Catherine Zappone, and which I enlarged to enable threats to the sustainability of a service based on costs coming from COVID to be considered. Mm. So we do have that sustainability service, and that's open to services to avail of if they feel necessary. We've been very clear, and I've been very clear, we want to keep services open. That's why we've continued with the very significant investments in supporting childcare across the COVID crisis. That's why we ensured that all childcare services could avail of the employment wage subsidy scheme. It's the only sector where there's a blanket exemption, where all businesses in that sector get access to that particular scheme.
That EW...
So I think we are supporting supporting childcare services across the COVID crisis.
Okay, that EWSS scheme will be paid at that higher rate until March 31st. Why have you chosen that date? Is there an expectation that childcare services will be closed longer than the 3 weeks?
No, that date is the date that the enhanced EWSS is paid for all businesses. So that was a decision taken at Cabinet on Wednesday, a memo brought forward by the Minister for Finance. So I think it's just an acknowledgement of wider support towards the entire economy. But for many sectors, they have to meet certain full in turnover requirement in order to avail of the EWSS, whereas I negotiated a blanket exemption okay. for the childcare sector.
You've
asked
private providers not to charge fees to parents. What if they don't listen? Is there any comeback from government?
The contract is a relationship between the childcare provider and the service provider. We are looking at ways to which to see if there are ways where we could make it more mandatory for fees to be returned. So our legal team are examining that at the moment. But at the moment, but straight away, I'm calling on them to return these fees. And it should be said, a lot are engaged with their parents. And I think that shows that there is capacity in many services for this short period of time.
So when you're talking about making it mandatory, is it a possibility then that perhaps the EWSS payment would be dependent on childcare providers committing to not charging parents fees?
Well, look, we're examining the options as regards compulsion, but I suppose we don't really want to go there. We think in light of the particular circumstances where childcare, where parents who aren't essential workers can't avail of the service for the next 3 weeks, in order to bring numbers down, in order to preserve the sustainability of the services in the midst of the current situation with COVID, we're asking the providers to return those fees.
As you said, parents who aren't essential workers can't avail of childcare at the moment. Many of those parents may need to take unpaid leave to look after their children because they may have no other option. And they may find themselves in a situation potentially where their childcare provider is insisting on the fees being paid to keep their place in the creche, while at the same time they have to take unpaid leave. So they're getting the double whammy of financial costs. Is there any support for parents in that situation?
Well, I suppose we are aware, and particularly in light of the closure of schools for the next three weeks, there may be workers, and I suppose we're particularly looking at frontline healthcare workers who have new temporary childcare needs. And I suppose my department are currently looking at ways whereby we could support those frontline healthcare workers. I suppose we're conscious that there were efforts to do this during the last lockdown, mm-hmm. which weren't, I think, particularly attractive or particularly useful for frontline healthcare workers. So we're just taking a bit of time over the next few days to see if we can model a solution to that. So we're
engaged with the Department of Health. Is now the time to be doing that, Minister, do you think?
Pardon?
Is now the time to be doing that? Could that have been done perhaps during the lockdown before that?
The sense of schools, the decision on closure of schools is one that was only made this week in light of the ongoing crisis and the significant increase of COVID levels.
In anticipation of the potential for schools being closed again, was any of these discussions or plans or talks or investigations, were any of those carried out since the first lockdown when this was a major problem, when frontline workers had nowhere to put their school-aged children?
I suppose we've been engaging very extensively with our sector to see what supports is necessary to it to keep it sustainable across the last number of months. I think we've done that very successfully. I think we saw a very wide-scale return to childcare, and I think it's also important to note we've had very low instances of COVID across our childcare services, and that's because of the good public health advice was provided
perhaps
and the way in which it's been maintained by services.
Perhaps you didn't understand my question. I'm speaking specifically now about school-age going children of frontline or essential workers and what provision is in place for those children to be minded, because this was a major problem during the first lockdown. And I'm wondering, have you got any plans for those children to be minded come Monday?
We're working in conjunction with the Department of Health to see what solutions we can put in place for those parents at the moment.
Okay, and my question that perhaps you didn't understand was, why are you only doing that now?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the progress of the virus over the last number of months, I think all of society had felt that we'd come to a situation where we weren't going to see large-scale closures of schools. I think, you know, and I'm on record as saying we want to avoid situations where schools shut down. Because of the current change in the status of the virus in the country in the last, you know, week or two, we've had to make a significant policy change as a result of that. And as I say, my department and the Department of Health were engaging together to ensure we can put supports in there for the parents.
So you didn't expect schools to have to be
essential workers.
You didn't expect schools to have to be closed again. Would it have been prudent to put in place a plan in case they would have to be closed again?
Well, look, as I say, we're working now to address the situation.
Do you think that's good enough, though, for the frontline workers who are being asked to go into a very difficult situation, particularly the nurses and the doctors who are being asked to go into a very difficult situation in our hospitals, that they now have the added stress of childcare because there has been no plan put in place by this government in 9 months?
Well, look, I think we're all aware of the real pressure that our frontline workers are under. And, you know, as I say, my department are working with the Department of Health to put in place those supports that we can to ensure that over the next 3 weeks, while the schools are shut down, that we can, for those who need additional support in childcare, that we can provide that to them.
Do you hope to have an answer by Monday morning?
I'd hope to have an answer early next week, yes.
Can we turn to the issue just briefly then of Leaving Cert students? I'm sure you're aware this has been a bone of a lot of contention over the last 24 hours, and both TUI and FORSA unions are now calling for a deferral of the plan at the very least to allow schools time to organise, as they call it, the considerable logistics involved. Do you think the Cabinet should at least consider delaying the plan?
Well, I think that the key point is that NPHET has said very clearly that schools are safe, that they have made no change in their assessment of the risk of transmission levels in schools and also in childcare. I think it's on the basis of that the government made its decision. NPHET also pointed to the fact that they wanted to achieve reduced mobility across society. We are aware there'd be about a million children of school going age going to school on Monday if all schools were open. So the decisions that we've taken in allowing children in special needs schools, children who are in special classes in mainstream schools, and allowing the Leaving Cert class attend school reduces by over 90% the number of children who'll be attending school next
just
week.
Just to take you up on that point that NPHET have said that schools are safe, because I've read the letter that was sent to the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, by Dr. Tony Houlihan on the 5th of January. And he does go through it, and he says that there is no change in terms of the advice of schools per se in an environment or in a particular environment as not being safe. But he says there is a change in the overall epidemiological situation, and I'm quoting, and the absolute need now to reduce all opportunities for transmission.
Yeah, and he also speaks about the significant levels of mobility and linked activity that the full reopening of schools would generate. So he was very clear that an entire reopening of schools was not something that NPHET could support. We haven't done that. We're doing an extremely reduced reopening of schools. And one other point that he was very clear of was the need for the government to take measures to support the most vulnerable children in the coming weeks. Mm. And that's why we've ensured school remains reopened for those in special schools and in classes in mainstream schools. And we've also taken the decision to reopen schools for 3 days a week for the Leaving Cert class, in acknowledgement of the fact of the importance of the Leaving Cert and a recognition, I suppose, of the real difficulties that the delays and the lack of face-to-face teaching caused the Leaving Cert class of 2020.
So can I take it then that the government is comfortable that it has interpreted Tony Houlihan's advice without specifically asking if its plans would be in line with what the medical advice might be, and that it is comfortable enough to go ahead on Monday and will not consider delaying the plan?
Well, we had, I was at the Cabinet Committee, the COVID Committee on Tuesday, along with Minister Foley, along with other ministers, and Tony Houlihan provided a very detailed assessment of that letter and went through the various elements of detail in detail. He was extremely clear that schools remain a safe environment.
Sure, you've made that point.
And it's on that basis that we've taken decisions.
When that conversation was happening and the CMO was sitting there and talking to you about the schools, did anyone stick up their hand and say, well, what if we did this? What if we did X or Y? Would that be okay, Tony Houlihan? Would it be okay if we sent 61,000 students to school? Did anyone think to ask?
Look, I think we all engaged with Tony Houlihan with various questions. I think we rely on NPHET for that kind of high level public health advice which he provided to us, and it's up to the government then to take policy responses on the basis of that. Right. He was very clear that the full reopening of schools was not something he'd contemplate. He was very clear that schools were a safe environment, and he was clear that we had a need to protect vulnerable children as well.
Yes.
And that's part of the reason that we are reopening schools. It is to make provision for those most vulnerable children who weren't, I think we all agree, adequately provided for during the March to May lockdown.
All right, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining me this evening. That's Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman.